What's up, RBLR Nation? You're hearing that wonderful, wonderful marching band theme music, the fight song, whatever you want to call it. That means you are listening to RBLR Bulls. We are back once again, another week, and it was a good one. You know, USF had a really tremendous game Saturday night, and we'll get into that. The both men's and women's basketball team starting up this week too. No official games, but it's right around the corner. I believe the men's basketball team has a little scrimmage against St. Leo on Friday, and then the women's basketball team, it's a little bit more in the future. They play FIU on November 3rd, so we'll be covering that as well once that season gets started. But first, we'll talk about the football game, and before that, I got to introduce my co-host, Mr. Jonathan Shields. How are you doing today?
I feel great. No complaints. USF up another spot in the polls, as we were just talking about before we went live. But Yeah, look, it's even though Memphis lost last week, I think that makes them a little bit more dangerous to play against this week. So, You know, the game has kind of been circled since the Miami game. And yeah, it's a big time game. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, I mean, USF is now everyone's Super Bowl that's kind of played out, but they're genuinely everyone's biggest game for the American Conference schedule for the rest of the season. But if anything, I feel like that brings out the best in USF too. So, you know, kind of goes both ways. But Mr. Musab Tariq, our third co-host, third, but definitely not third in our hearts. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Just like Jonathan was saying, yeah, I mean that Memphis game was a surprise, and there were some other surprising, you know, wins and losses as well. So love to see it. But on top of that, our USF Bulls made another statement win, which is exactly what I asked for, and I received it. So I'm a happy camper right now.
Indeed. Yeah, they, you know, they kept it a little closer than I think we would have liked in that first half. And even into the third quarter, it was a one possession game. But then that, you know, this always happens with good teams against bad teams, that wall hits, and then the talent gap really starts to show. But yeah, those first two and a half quarters or two in like a third quarter maybe, but yeah, not looking great for USF, but then it just took off from there. 48-13 was the final score over Florida Atlantic University. But what were y'all's thoughts on the kind of close nature of it? Was it like a concern at all, Musab? I mean, when they were only up 21-13 in the third, were you kind of, I was a little anxious. I was kind of getting antsy. I don't know how you were feeling watching the game.
Not really. I felt like, you know, no matter what, we were going to win. Now, of course, seeing that we won 48-13, I was actually really not expecting that, to see how much we just quickly out of nowhere turned it up, especially, you know, just when we needed it. So, but definitely a concern. It was kind of just a little bit of a kind of back and forth. I just felt like, you know, it was kind of, you know, they had exciting moments, we had exciting moments, but, you know, it was kind of like, you know, we were making some mistakes that kind of just were costing us. But in the end, though, we cleaned it up and, yeah, we finished strong. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is kind of one of the opposite ends of the spectrum. Like when they play Navy or Army, or if a team has to play Air Force, you're running against the option, and FAU runs that air raid offense. And so it's kind of the exact opposite in terms of defensive game planning and kind of the shell shock nature of like, oh, they're throwing it like almost every down. So yeah, it was definitely a little bit awkward, a little bit uncomfortable there for a little bit. But yeah, like you said, just USF just taking over and just kind of putting the foot on their necks. It was really impressive to see. But Jonathan, how about you, man? What were your thoughts on USF performance going into that third quarter when it was only 21-13?
It was, I don't know, the game to me was calming because the North Texas game was so crazy, right? There was turnovers. It felt like there was just, you couldn't catch your breath. And right. This game, I don't know, it was long, sustained drives by USF. I mean, we'll get to the run game later, but was able to run it efficiently. And, you know, my biggest key was them to not turn the ball over. Yep. And now, if it would have been 21-13 and USF just turned it over and FAU had it in their territory, would I have held my breath a little bit more? Yeah. But I also came on here and said that I think FAU is better than North Texas just because in terms of the quality of competition. And they are used to playing, not used to, they have played against the USF's type of caliber of athlete before. So with that in the back of my mind, I wasn't shocked. I was shocked that it went from 21-13 to 48-13 in, yeah, in, you know, a matter of, what was it, like 23 minutes of game time or something that they turned it up like that. But was I surprised? Not necessarily. But again, the big thing that I take away from the game is no turnovers, man. If USF does not have any turnovers against Memphis this weekend, they will win. It's as simple as that. If they have two, if they even have one, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, this is a game I'm more fearful of now that Memphis lost, kind of going forward. But yeah, in terms of the FAU game, no, because of the stuff that we kind of talked about last week.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they did a great job of taking care of the football, which, that's definitely a great sign. They didn't play sloppy. But at the same time, the offense looked a little limited at times in that first half, almost a little conservative maybe. Byron Brown wasn't necessarily in good connection with his receivers. They really missed Chaz Nimrod. I think that him being out was a bit of a bigger factor than I think maybe people realize, myself included. It's one of those things. So we'll see if Nimrod's good to go this week. That'll be something we talk about when we talk about the Memphis game. But in terms of running the football, yeah, my goodness. Over 200 rushing yards, 235, and FAU had none. They had no running game at all. And, it was just kind of a bully game in the second half, especially. USF just kind of put belt to bottom, if you will. Jonathan, do you think this kind of puts to rest any, like, talks of, like, rivalry and all that nonsense? Or are FAU fans just going to be annoying because it's FAU fans?
They're probably just going to be annoying. I mean, I've never seen FAU as a rival of USF. You know, just because you can drive up 275 to get to where you're going to play doesn't mean that you're a rival necessarily. Right. You know,
no war on I-75.
Or in the instance going up I-4, which is the worst highway in America, up to Orlando, which may be one of the worst cities in America. No hate to people in Orlando, but
preach, man. Preach in the choir.
No, I mean, is USF a rivalry? Is Miami USF a rivalry just because they're in the same state, right? Is FIU USF a rivalry just because they're in the same state? Like, I get they're in the same conference, so it's a little bit different. But, when I think of that kind of that being a rivalry, I mean, not really. When I think of, like UCF USF, I think of that crazy game a few years ago with like the kickoff returns and going down to the wire, and with FAU. And granted, I'm not some, FAU, historian, but I don't really remember any of those types of games against USF to that elk, the type of games that form rivalries. So, I don't know if it put it to bed because to me, frankly, I mean, the rumors were never even tucked in to be put to bed. So I think that, USF went out, they played with their food a little bit in the first half. And then when it was time to, put the game away, they put the game away.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a little bit of a murmur after last year's kind of not explosive ending, but a little bit of bad blood between the two head coaches. The FAU coach is obviously no longer there, but there's a little bit of bubbling over into this year. But I think Golish and USF played it well. They didn't give them any bulletin board material. Like every time they answered a question, it was like very complimentary of FAU, and it was very much like, hey, like these guys are a good team. And then they went out and beat them 48-13. So maybe it was kind of a, like the, what was that thing with the feet with Bill Belichick and Wes Welker all those years ago? I don't know if y'all remember, but like they had this weird press back and forth when Wes Welker was on the Broncos. It was really weird, but it's kind of some gamesmanship there. But Musab, how about you, man? What were your thoughts on this rivalry or potential rivalry, or what are your thoughts on this FAU-USF rivalry, quote unquote?
No, man, they need to get out of here. If anything, it's going to be maybe UCF, for even if they're outside of our conference now, it's just that historical rivalry. But look, if you ask me, we're the second hottest team in Florida right now. So calling FAU against the second hottest, team in Florida right now, rivalry is it's an injustice to USF. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't do that with UF. You know what I'm saying? If they were the second hottest team. So same thing. So again, I mean, we've also proved it back to back. We ran them over. I get, they kept it close for a bit, but I think that was just really on us, kind of just shooting ourselves in the foot. So for us to just kind of change the game, absolutely dominating the second half. I mean, no, there's no rivalry at all. We kind of embarrassed them in every way possible. Our QB embarrassed them, our freshman wide receiver This kid's like what, 18, 19, man.
Yeah.
You know, big bodying them seniors. I don't even know what year those DBs are, but you know what I'm saying. So same thing with the rushing game as well. And our defense too. You know, just everyone around the defense, but, you know, specifically Matt Karras and Jalen Schuler. So no, this is not a rivalry. Never will be. Maybe in some other sports, you know, but definitely not football.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, we'll talk about the USF men's basketball prospects at the end of the episode, but or in future episodes mostly. But yeah, in basketball, they're actually very, I feel like they're very close. Like, it's a real good contest because FAU's basketball program, really, really good, especially in the American conference. You know, one of the top programs in that conference. So yeah, basketball, very different discussion. But like you said, in terms of football, it's kind of, there's a bit of a gap right now, and it's proven to be quite wide. So I don't know. I, like you said, kind of putting that to bed for sure. But shifting our focus to the UAB Memphis game, because that was huge. Like, that was a huge game. You know, UAB just fired their head coach, Trent Dilfer. They were running out a new quarterback too. I mean, it was just like, really set up for Memphis to kind of take control of that game, and they did not. Their quarterback Brendan Lewis went out in the middle of the game, so freshman quarterback AJ Hill made his college debut, and you know, he wasn't great. You know, he still has a chance to turn things around, but yeah, it was definitely a rough game. And how does this impact your view of USF's chances to win the American Conference now that Memphis has a conference loss already, and they haven't even played each other yet? So I don't know. For me, it was very much a USF, I already thought they had a good chance to win it, but man, this really upped my chances, Musaba. What are your thoughts on Memphis's loss and how it impacts USF?
I mean, it just makes USF look like, just looks better, honestly. I mean, you know, just a bunch of red flags all around for Memphis against UAB. I mean, they, again, you know, they just shot themselves in the foot, but they got dominated as well, you know, compared to UAB. I mean, UAB had just a better game with, you know, the third down conversions, time of possession. You know, they had a couple of big plays as well. So now from what I know, I mean, I know their quarterback, Brendan Lewis, had gotten injured. I don't know what the update is, but I know they had a throw in AJ Hill who came in. So he also ended up throwing a pick. So I don't know exactly what's the quarterback situation as of right now either. But then again, I mean, if you got your backup in there too now, that's just – just more reason for me to hammer USF, you know, USF spread or USF money line.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Yeah. Like you said, getting thrown into a conference game like that, even against UAB, it's not ideal. And yeah, there hasn't been any confirmation whether Brendan Lewis can play this Saturday. The Memphis head coach has been very cagey about it. Like, he's not even committed to AJ Hill. They have a third quarterback whose name I can't remember, but he's floated his name out there as well. So that'll be something to monitor for sure. Kind of a storyline going into Saturday. But Jonathan, how about you, man? What were your thoughts on UAB beating Memphis? I know you kind of touched on it earlier, but do you think this kind of really alters USF's chances to win the American, or is it kind of like, nah, they still got to win out?
I don't know if it changes if they have to win. You know, one conference loss isn't a death sentence. You know what I mean? If Memphis beats USF, they're right back to where they were, you know, a week ago.
Absolutely. So,
like, that loss really doesn't do anything for me. No team from the American is going to be an at-large bid in the playoff. You know, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
So, you know, so then it goes down to, okay, who is Memphis going to be able to play? They play USF. USF is the class of the conference right now, them and Tulane. Now, USF and Tulane do not play each other. Memphis and Tulane also do not. Memphis and Tulane do play each other. So Memphis controls their own destiny. So how does it change it? I think, like I said, I think it makes them a scarier team. They play Navy, they play Tulane, and they play USF. They play all the contenders. Yeah. So everything is still in their hands. And I am petrified as a USF fan, because this is going to be their toughest game since the Miami game. And now everything USF did in the preseason and before their conference play has set them up for this game. When you look up and down Memphis roster, man, they got dudes. It's as simple as that. They got three rushers that are almost over 400 yards. They average 5.6 yards per carry. They got two receivers that are right around 400 yards. Obviously, their quarterback, all depends if he plays or not. That's the biggest key of the game for me. I mean, if he does play, is he 50%? Is he 75%? Because one of the rushers over 400 yards is their quarterback. So, yeah, look, the outcome of the game is going to depend on the health. I shouldn't say outcome. How much USF struggles is going to depend on the health of Memphis's quarterback. And this is going to be one of the better defenses that USF is going to play all year. They take the ball away. They already have 10 picks, 14 turnovers total. And they, when you look in that back end, it's not a bunch of heralded guys either. You know, they got some guys from JUCO. They got some guys that transferred, you know, in conference. They also actually have a former five-star that started at Florida as a freshman and then transferred after, you know, stuff didn't work out there. But, you know, they got dudes in their defense. They got dudes on their offense. There's a reason why they beat Arkansas. But, you know, there's also a reason why USF beat Boise and beat Florida. But I'm saying I think these are the two best teams in American. All credit to John Summerall and the job he's done at Tulane, and no one respects our armed forces more than me with Navy. But, yeah, this to me is their not their conference championship, the conference championship before the conference championship. If USF wins this game, I have no doubt that they will be posting the conference championship that first weekend in December.
Wow. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, no, I'm in agreement there because this, like you said, this is sort of their test. And then they still have to play Navy, but, you know, Navy also has to play Memphis. And you know, so there's a lot of layers to it. Like you said, one, they kind of have a conference loss banked, so to speak. And if they beat Memphis, then the pressure's off against Navy. They don't necessarily, it's, you know, it's kind of a high octane matchup if they can't pull this out against Memphis. But yeah, we'll see how it goes for sure. Were there any other key players from Memphis that you're looking at, Musab, since we're kind of getting into the Memphis preview here as we look into it? And like Jonathan said, like the quarterback situation is very fluid, but other than that, are there any other guys that you're looking at on Memphis that kind of make you raise your eyebrow, so to speak?
They got weapons all around. I mean, the offense, Sutton Smith at running back, Cortez Abraham at wide receiver. Now, I mean, the thing is that, you know, against UAB, they just looked off. And, you know, kind of what, you know, Jonathan was saying is just that, yeah, I mean, everyone's coming for, you know, USF right now. So, you know, one loss, you know, still keeps you in competition, especially now since you're going against, you know, USF. So, in this case, yeah, I mean, the run game, I think they only had like 115 yards. They're averaging, you know, like 220 or something. So,
right, yeah.
The run game, you know, just – you know, was not it against UAB. And then on the other hand, I mean, you know, we're looking at their D line. I mean, they allowed, you know, plenty of yards. They allowed that big 81 yard touchdown run as well. So run game on both ends, you know, their run game and how can they stop the run game? I'm looking at that. But with Cortez Abraham, you know, he's their leading receiver, transferred from Nevada as well. He's a big play threat in the pass game. You know, in the event, you know, that the run game is not working, you know, USF is doing what they need to do. You know, I'm thinking that, you know, they're just going to, you know, find ways for Cortez Abraham to get involved. We saw a little bit of that, you know, with the FAU-USF game. I had a feeling that, you know, what's his name, Assad Wasim was going to get some action against us with Veldkamp. So, and that's, you know, that's what happened. But, you know, we were able to control him for the most part. So, yeah, those are probably the three things I'm looking at.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Deshaun Rucker is definitely going to have his hands full. Like you said, Cortez Abraham down the field is really tough to contend with. Yeah, and also almost 17 yards per catch for Abraham Jr. That's some really impressive stuff there. Yeah, so that's definitely going to be something to monitor. Good shout on the run defense as well, because that's sort of one of the keys to victory for me for USF is being able to pound the rock. You know, that's part of their identity. They had, you know, like we said earlier, they had over 200 rushing yards. It feels like, again, you know, it feels like that's just kind of a routine thing for them. And Byron Brown ran for over 100. So it's, you know, it's one of those things if Byron Brown can get going, but also the other guys, you know, Sam Franklin and Alvin Isaac and anyone else, you know, there's a lot of meat on that bone for USF in terms of running the football, especially against this Memphis team that struggled against UAB, who frankly is not USF in that regard. USF's offensive line, really, really good as well. They've been playing really, really up to their above the skis of the typical American Conference offensive line for sure. So that's definitely one of my keys to victory. Jonathan, I know you mentioned no turnover game and USF probably wins. I definitely agree. But are there any other things that you're looking at for USF to take home this victory on the road against Memphis?
Yeah, Musab talked about it. It's stopping their run game. especially if their quarterback doesn't play. If they limit the run game, that's the biggest key. It's as simple as that. And limit explosive plays. You already talked about the yards per catch for some of the receivers. Anytime you see, it's kind of like Nimron for USF. Anytime you see that our yards per catch up near 17, over anything over 15, they're a big play threat. They're going down the field. They're making those vertical catches. So who wins the explosive games? Who has more 20-plus yard plays? You know what I mean? Like, things like that are going to be the big decider. So, look, this game has been circled. I could argue Memphis was looking ahead to the USF game, and they're going to have their best kind of shot at USF this game. And look, USF, it feels like they haven't had a bye in a little bit. You know, they're tired. I don't know if they're tired. That's just, you know, perspective. They've had a lot of blowouts. But, you know, I say all that to say they're going to get the best version of Memphis today. I wish the game was today, on Saturday. And I have no doubt that USF's best is better than Memphis's best. But USF's at 80% is not as good as Memphis's best, if that makes sense. Yep. USF is going to have to play at a very high level to win this game. And it starts with limiting the run and limiting the explosive plays, especially if their quarterback's out.
Yeah, and you know, even if their quarterback's in, like Brendan Lewis, like Musab said, he's one of their leading rushers as well. So it's very much a it's going to be tough. Limiting the traditional runs if he's out is definitely the key. But if he's in, man, that's just kind of another added wrinkle that Memphis has in their toolkit. And that's going to be really tough to slow down for sure, because Brendan Lewis is a pretty good quarterback. AJ Hill or whoever else they have, obviously not going to be as prolific, not going to be as difficult to contain, especially AJ Hill. He's definitely more of a pocket passer, very much kind of not a statue, but kind of more like Veltkamp than Byron Brown, so to speak. So, yeah, definitely a big thing there. Anything else we missed, Musab? Any other keys to victory for USF that you're thinking of?
No, I mean, look, we just got to play a perfect game. Whoever plays a cleaner game as well, turnovers and penalties, you know, really bit Memphis in the butt, you know, last game, seriously cost them. So that's another thing to look at. I mean, you know, we had no turnovers against FAU. I love to see that. But, the QB situation as of right now is day-to-day. So, you know, as of right now, Lewis is day-to-day. So in the event that, you know, they go with AJ Hill, that's just going to be helping us more. Their offense may turn a little bit more one-dimensional. We can, you know, be a lot more aggressive as well. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, and AJ Hill playing would just take away a lot of those read options and a lot of those, you know, design quarterback runs, and it also allows USF's pass rush to certainly be a little more aggressive. They don't have to necessarily worry as much about, you know, keeping the running lanes clogged up and not just, you know, letting him kind of step up and then take off for a big gain. That's not going to be as much of a problem as it is for Brendan Lewis. Definitely something to keep in mind. And we'll monitor Chaz, you know, got to monitor Chaz Nimrod's health, because if he's there, man, he could be involved early, and they really missed him this past week, but he's a game changer. You know, he stretches the field. He brings that sort of extra juice to the offense that Christian Neptune has done an admirable job of replacing. But man, against a team like Memphis, it's important to have Chaz Nimrod, a more experienced type of guy, because Nimrod's been there. He's been at Tennessee and he's been outstanding so far this year when he's been healthy. So yeah, getting Nimrod is involved as well. We'll have to see how that goes for USF against Memphis. So getting to our predictions, what do we think, who do we think is going to win by how much? Cause this is like we keep saying, this is one of the biggest games that USF is going to have this year. Especially looking forward, it's this one and Navy. Memphis and Navy are the two big games for USF. Who do y'all think is going to win by how much? Musab, I'll throw this question to you first. Who you got winning and by what score?
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I'm going USF 38, Memphis 24. I just think USF has the momentum, defensive strength. I feel like, you know, as of right now, I do think that we have the matchup advantage. But, look, Memphis still has talent, but based on, you know, what they've shown, especially this last game and, you know, their situation at quarterback, the run defense, you know, kind of just a poorly executed matchup. Hopefully we're able to take advantage of that. So if they do their job, I see USF, you know, handling Memphis. So I also do want to give a shout out to Jeremiah Koger. I think he's going to have another big game as well. I mean, this is his like third kind of big game in a row. I remember I said this last week. I was like, the kid's back to back, you know, look for him, especially with Nimrod out. So whether Nimrod is in or out, you know, we're going to have to use all the weapons we have. So I think he, you know, he comes in, you know, big time here and there whenever possible. So, yeah, there you go. 38-24.
38-24. I like it. How about you, Jonathan? Who you got winning and by what final score?
I have USF 27-24 on a walk-off field goal. I think it would be an incredibly close game. Incredibly close. I would not be surprised if USF loses, to be completely honest. But I think the linebacking duo led by Shuler is going to end up being the difference against that run game. I think USF is going to run the ball efficiently enough in order to get an advantageous spot to take shots. And, you know, healthy, not healthy, you know, whatever, I'll take Byron Brown over any quarterback in the American. And, you know, when you have the better quarterback in games like this, a lot of times that you win the game. So I think USF wins. I think it is close, but hopefully we're coming on here next week talking about how big of a win USF had.
Yeah, I'd love Saturday afternoon to be able to relax and just watch a blowout. That would be awesome, you know, because, man, it could get stressful real quick. And, yeah, a walk-off field goal would be just that. But, you know, that would also be kind of fun, you know, watching Nico go out there and do his thing for another time this year, obviously after the UF victory. He's kind of the kind of fun little cult hero, I almost want to say. But he's actually, like, a really good kicker, too. Like, I think he's going to be playing on Sunday, so that might be, you know, not giving him enough credit. But yeah, I've actually got Memphis winning this one. I think USF takes an L this week.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. Damn, I got guys. What's that?
Damn, man. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
We're going 1v2 on this. Wow.
I think I'm just at the state.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is true. That is true. Yeah, you know, you said 27-24. Well, didn't think this day would come.
Yeah, I've got Memphis winning 35-31. I think it's going to be close, but especially if Brendan Lewis is playing, I just, you know, they're going on the road to Memphis. Memphis is a really good team, and USF is having to travel to them. Obviously, they're like, you know, there's not necessarily, Memphis isn't known for having a huge home field advantage or anything, but it's still, there is an advantage there nonetheless. So, yeah, I've got Memphis taking this one home. Just, you know, it's tough, but USF's, like Jonathan, like you were saying, man, they're tired. Like even Alex Golish had a press conference today and he was talking about it. Like, yeah, it's been a while since they've had a bye week, you know? So I think that Memphis takes home the victory and, you know, obviously hope I'm wrong. It would be wonderful if I am. And I fully would not be surprised at all if USF took home a victory. This is a very low confidence prediction, but I don't know. Maybe it's the fan in me anticipating bad news that hopefully I'm, you know, pleasantly surprised, but I don't know. I see Memphis taking home a victory here. USF's had a great year, but they're bound for an off game. And, you know, I think it happens this week, but we'll see. There's going to be a lot going on Saturday with college football and everything. Sorry, go ahead, Musab.
No, I was just saying, yeah, it's going to be a good one, I think. But I don't know. I just feel like, you know, we just look different, man. We're built different. We're hungry. I feel like the culture just around this whole organization just looking mad different. And I just love the fact that we are such a high-tempo offense, but we are like one of the top three teams in the country to have held, you know, the ball for less than like 25 minutes. Right. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if Memphis is ready for that. You know,
yeah,
I'm really curious to see what exactly happened, how they lost to a team like UAB. And also curious to see what goes on with Lewis's lower body injury. I don't know how specific that is or something. So yeah. I don't know exactly what that means, but you know, right. I also kind of hate to, you know, sound like an asshole or something, but hey, it's football. You get hurt again. And next thing you know, boom, it's AJ Hill.
Yeah. And it could very be a limiting factor for him too. So, you know, that's even if he plays, there's definitely that kind of thought to keep in the back of your head, like, oh, well, he's playing, but is he 100%? Is he going to be able to run for the yardage that he usually does, because like we've been saying, he's one of their leading rushers. But I don't know. I just, Memphis is a great team, like Jonathan was saying, like we've been saying, they've got a lot of talent on that roster, definitely one of the most talented teams in the American Conference. So it wouldn't be a shame, it wouldn't be like disappointing if USF lost to Memphis. I mean, it would be a bummer, but like it wouldn't be like, oh, USF's awful. Like, no, Memphis is a good team. But that's my prediction.
It doesn't matter, man. It's any given Saturday. I'm sure there was dudes on their Memphis podcast last week, you know, just talking about how they're just gonna absolutely, you know, just run over UAB.
Yeah, so sort of like you with FSU in Virginia. Yeah, sort of like the Virginia.
Yeah, that too, man.
Yeah, that was a tough one. But looking around USF, because there's other sports other than football, obviously, the men's soccer team had their first loss of the season against Missouri State. It was kind of tough. They took the L 3-1, or 1-3, I guess you would say. But the good news is their next game against Temple this Friday. You know, Temple's not doing super well on a 6-game losing streak near the bottom of the American Conference rankings for men's soccer. So hopefully USF can have a bit of a bounce back game in that regard. And then the volleyball team, they beat 14-4 Charlotte. Charlotte's also 5-1 in conference play, and they beat them 3-0. So that was really impressive. And then they took home a 3-0 victory on Sunday versus Temple as well. They're sitting number 3 in the conference behind Rice and Tulsa. Tulsa is 17-3. They are on fire. So anything else to add about the volleyball team, Musab? I know you're a little bit more into it than I am, but what's next for USF, and are there any players
that you want to play? I just follow what I can, you know, thanks to thanks to their account on Twitter.
Go Bulls.
I finally have my Twitter, you know, kind of algorithm right, where I only see content that I genuinely want to see. Sometimes you end up following the wrong guys and they like retweet a bunch of things, you
know. Some nonsense.
Anyways. No, but hey, shout out Reagan Richardson as well, who leads the conference in aces with 29. And hopefully we get another nice win upcoming against Eastern Carolina University, who's on a 3-game losing streak. So, volleyball team's looking good. And then, hey, same thing with our women's soccer team. They actually earned their 300th program win at home against Charlotte. They won 2-1. And team leader in points, Gentiana Fitaj, she got her 4th goal of the season and her 7th assist. They got another game tomorrow, Thursday, against the University of North Texas. It's a home game, so should be a good one. And then, like you mentioned, man, men's basketball and women's basketball starting soon. The men's team was tapped for 2nd place in the AAC preseason basketball rankings. And the women's basketball team was actually predicted to win the American Athletic Conference. And if you watch out for star Carla Brito, who was named the league's top preseason player. Ooh. So, it should be a fun one. And it's starting real soon, man, before you know it.
Yeah. I mean, they do such a great job with that women's basketball program. Like they've been excellent for as long as I can remember, frankly. And the men's basketball team, they got that new coach. He's going to do hopefully a great job. Obviously Hodgson from Arkansas State. He led the Red Wolves to like a pretty darn good season last year. I think they set the program record for wins. So obviously, hopefully Brian Hodgson can do a great job here. Jonathan, you're our resident men's basketball former guy. So do you have any insight to add, or cause USF had a massive new team, like 13 new players. How does that factor into a men's basketball team, like bringing in just like an entire new roster like that?
Oh, it's huge. It's the way that, you know, especially college basketball world is now. You can just go out on the fly and rebuild the roster.
Right.
The chemistry wise, it's difficult. I mean, you're asking 13 new guys to buy into your program. If you lose a few games in a row, you could see that buy-in kind of disappear.
Yeah.
The thing with the transfer portal is you hope that you're not bringing in mercenaries, you know, these guys right. And it's tough to I don't envy any first year coach at a major program or at a Division I program like USF. But like, I mean, they're on the doorstep of the NCAA tournament 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, a tragedy had them take a justified step back. Yeah. But, the expectation should be to compete. And obviously that's how the preseason pullers pulled it. But I'm just saying, we've seen it with Florida State in football. When you bring in these mercenaries, out of these one-year guys that are just trying to get to the league, and rightfully so, right? Everyone, you know, got to get to that's the ultimate goal. But Yeah, that's just the best teams are where you recruit and you sprinkle in portal acquisitions. And so the culture is already set. So again, you know, who knows? I trust USF that one, that they hired the right guy to set that culture, and two, that he brought in the right players to affirm that culture. So I love college basketball. I can't wait for that to get underway. And I think it's like 2 weeks away. Crazy.
Yeah, super exciting stuff. I applied for a credential, so hopefully I'll be at most of the games. I think Mr. Tariq did too, so we'll hopefully be there for our repping RBLR Bulls, you know. We'll have to see how it develops. That's a great point about the transfer portal, because they have the 8 experienced veteran guys who are new, and then they brought in 5 freshmen from across the country too. Like, that was surprised. Like, they're not just like local, you know, Tampa guys, because obviously, you know, basketball complete. It's not football or baseball. You can be played anywhere. So they got them from around the country, which is really cool to see. And Coach Hodgson seems to have a really, really glowingly high reputation. Like, people just seem to be falling over their heels to compliment him. So hopefully he proves them right, you know. And I'm really excited for this college basketball season as well. So we'll be back at y'all next week, coming towards the end of our episode. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. We will be talking football, obviously, next week, but also a little bit of basketball. You know, maybe we'll do a little preview for men's and women's, because both of them are supposed to be pretty good. Like Musab said, you know, the women's team's probably going to be in competition for winning the conference, and the USF men's team not really far behind either. So we got a lot to talk about USF wise. So stay tuned. Give us a like or subscribe if you like what you heard. You can also give us a follow at RBLR Bulls or at RBLR Sports. I really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Thank you to my 2 wonderful co-hosts for making my job easy. See y'all next week, and as always, go Bulls.
Go Bulls.
Go Bulls, baby.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.